How great is the love our Father has lavished on us, that we might be called the children of God. And that is what we are. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm number five of six children. My oldest sibling was 9 years older than me. And so even in my young childhood, I had an awareness of things that were going on around me that a lot of my playmates didn't. So for instance, one of my earliest memories of childhood is the Chicago riots in the summer of 1968 during the Democratic National Convention. It's a little bit bigger deal at the house in which I grew up because in law enforcement, my father was one of the commanders of the riot unit that was training every single day during that stretch of time in Kenosha in case reinforcements were called or in case the violence spilled over into southeastern Wisconsin, which was at that time just as equally an unhappy place with all kinds of social unrest going on. And so I also went off to kindergarten with Vietnam on my mind. I'm not exaggerating. It was something that I talked to my parents about, that I asked people about because I was hearing about it on a daily basis. I grew up in a neighborhood where there were young men serving overseas in Vietnam. And there were also families in the neighborhood protesting the war. And there was at least one family that had realities in both camps. And I remember, summer of fourth grade, it was finally over, that whole Watergate mess. For years, even little people like me were sick and tired of hearing the media just pound on Watergate, Watergate, Watergate. Richard Nixon was an extremely unpopular president in the neighborhood I grew up in. Most of them were card-carrying and union Democrats, and they had no time for him whatsoever. Why do I bring this all up? Because my whole life, I've been aware of the unhappinesses in the world around me. And I look at the world I live in right now, I don't know anybody that's truly happy, do you? I mean, there might be little moments and glimpses of happiness because of unrelated things that happen, but for the most part, no matter who you talk to, no matter what side they declare themselves to be on, nobody's happy for any length of time. And then you come to realize that as you have conversations, especially if you do not reveal your own personal thoughts on many things, but listen to what everyone else around you is saying, you're going to find that even in those camps of people who have very strong opinions on certain things, they don't even agree with other people in their camp. And at any given moment, you can have two people who thought they were allies on something arguing vociferously about something that isn't something they have in common. And then the things going on in our world, the things we're remembering this weekend from 20 years ago. The reality is, this is one of those moments in time where I'm led to wonder about whether this might be the unhappiest, the world in which I immediately live, my immediate region, the country I live in, the people I live among, more unhappy, more at fearful points of uncertainty than I've ever experienced in my life. Of course, if my parents were still living, they'd point back to World War II, the Depression. But that generation and its perspective is almost gone from our midst. And the reality is, there's a lot of people looking for answers. And I'm thinking about that because these words have been echoing in my ears and my heart for the last week. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. So, our encouragement to be strong, to not fear, to take heart, to find perspective, is rooted in the fact that our Creator, Savior, God would like to remind us, as He does often in His Word, that He knows what's going on, that every single lie, every single act of hatred, every single aggression, whether it's a national aggression against another nation, or it's about philosophy, or it's about religion, or it's about social status, whatever the case may be, every single person that inflicts pain, suffering on someone else, the Lord's keeping track. The Lord knows if the person who is the perpetrator of such a thing is not led to repentance and saving faith in Jesus Christ, they will face a day of judgment for every last thing that they have done, and you need not be uncertain about that in any way. That's the first thing that He puts in front of you as something to remind you to be of courage in enduring the things that are bringing you pain, suffering, fear, in whatever moment you may be living. To remind yourself to raise your sights out of the details of the moment to the realities that God speaks to us in His Word about how short this life is, how temporary this existence is, how permanent eternity is, and how glorious and fulfilling it will be. But we'll get to that in a moment. Sure, our first turn in Scripture in moments of pain and sorrow and need is to look for a Savior who will embrace us, wipe the tears from our eyes, unconditionally forgive us, and remind us of the promise of eternal life through His glorious resurrection. Our Jesus, our Savior, our brother, would also remind us frequently, though, that He is also the judge of the universe. He uses words like vengeance and retribution in connection to salvation so that you and I understand that no matter what anyone may be able to physically, socially, emotionally, intellectually, or psychologically do to us in this world today, that's not the final answer to our predicament whatsoever. That there is a God who sees and hears and knows. He hears every word spoken. He sees every word ever placed in print, whether that be books and media or social media. He sees it all. He knows it all. He calculates it all. And He has an ability to take everything and make it right in the end, which He does over and over and over again. And it's important for us to be remembering at what point in time these words were being spoken to the first hearers. A prophecy at a time when the promised land had crumbled around God's chosen people, and Jerusalem was in a world of hurt. And anybody listening to the prophets knew that this was in direct reaction to their wandering from God and their distrust of God and their empty expression of outward religion that didn't have anything at its core any longer as a nation, that they really deserved what was coming. And what God was telling them is, this is all about Me getting you refocused on the bigger issues, the bigger truths, and the far better source than any human thought or human endeavor of solving the problems of your lives, whether they be the immediate problems of your life or the far bigger problems of humanity, disease, poverty, pestilence, the scourge of weather. It's all been there. It's all been there long before and ever since the 2,700 years ago or so that Elijah first put these words out for public consumption. Nothing's changed. Nothing's different. And so we should hear echoes from the gospel lesson of the day of how the one who's promised in these verses, who will bring about retribution, who will bring about vengeance, is also the one who brings relief, fulfillment, the solace that we need. When those around Jesus said, "He does everything well," remember what they were talking about in that particular moment. Miracles like giving someone who had never spoken and never heard, not just the ability to learn and understand it, but in an instant, perfect ears, a perfect tongue, and the perfect ability to communicate as an adult. Stunning and amazing, as so many of Jesus' miracles were. Because Jesus' miracles would take us back to that core reality of how there's a lot of things about life that we can think about and address and maybe fix, but there's only one, the Creator God who wore our flesh in the person of that Messiah, who can undo the things that happen by nature as a result of our sin, who can make things right in our lives day by day, but even more important, make things right in the bigger picture of the eternal truths that He would have us focus on. And so when He brings around, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame leaping like a deer, the mute singing and shouting for joy, water gushing in the wilderness, streams in the desert, burning sand becoming a pool. What's He pointing to? He's not necessarily talking about the immediate relief like the Israelites experienced when Moses would make a water come out of a rock by God's command. Those are also possibilities. Because occasionally God will do those types of miraculous things, even in our lives. But He doesn't want us to dwell on those any more than Jesus wanted them to dwell on that miracle that day. That's why He shushed them. He wanted them to be focused on bigger things that He was telling them about eternity and forgiveness and life after this life. And so here also, the Scriptures point us to an eternal reality that should be our comfort, that should be our confidence, that should bring us peace and relief from our fear and our pain and our unhappiness. That there is a future in front of us where every need will be supplied, where there will be no danger, there will be no suffering from weather or time or disease or hatred. There will be nothing about our existence that will leave us in any way but fulfilled and complete and perfect forever. And when you think that through, with the poetic way that Isaiah puts it in front of us this morning, does that not have you at least figuratively leaping like a deer and your heart singing for joy? Does that not absolutely lift the pall, the fog of the unhappiness of the moment in which we live, at least for a moment, to remember where we're going, who's in charge, and what He's promised us? So, I can't promise you that you or someone you dearly love won't be the next one testing positive for some variation of this crazy virus that we've all been fighting for a very long time. I can't tell you that the social unrest that swirls around us, not just in the big cities, but in all kinds of other places, affecting people who would have never expected that in their little corner of the world, this could possibly happen. That again, you or someone you dearly love won't be the object of some form of violence or hatred. And I certainly can't tell you that as you wear your faith and your hope confidently in the world every day, speaking to those with fearful hearts, that they also can be strong and not fear, that God is coming, that there will be reaction to that truth that causes you pain, that makes it clear that you also are experiencing what the disciples rejoiced in experiencing, for being persecuted, for being counted amongst those who hold Jesus dear and follow him as Savior and Lord. Can't promise you any of those things. But I can repeat the promises of God through his prophet Isaiah. That no matter what you face, no matter what you fear, no matter what causes you pain and discouragement, there's one truth that he would point us to focus on, to be certain of, to cling to, as if our eternal life depended on it. We have a Creator, Savior, God who hears and sees and knows, who has the power to stop anything at any given moment if he determines that it's not in our best interests. But do you hear the echoes here in Isaiah of Romans 8? Those beautiful words so often quoted, how God will make everything work for the good of those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. But don't forget that the next few verses also tell us that if he was willing to give his one and only Son into our human existence, to face our temptations and to overcome our sins and to give himself into death so that he can pay for our status of approved to live with God forever, how will he not also along with him graciously give us everything else we need every single day on our journey to that reality? It echoes through the centuries. It is the thing believers have needed to hear most, no matter the moment they were facing. Even if it might truly have been and continues to be the most unhappy, unpleasant moment of their lifetimes. Our God will come, and he will save you and me. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.